to People Like Us, a podcast for and about third culture kids everywhere. I'm Jen Mohindra. I'm also a TCK, and I have a Facebook group for TCK adults called, unsurprisingly, People Like Us. Hello, and welcome to today's episode of People Like Us. And today, I am delighted to be speaking with Amanda Bates. Amanda, hello, welcome. Thank you for joining me today.
Good morning. Good morning. I am so glad to be here.
Nice and early for you, I believe. So without further ado, let me launch straight into the first question. Amanda, would you like to tell me about where you grew up?
Yeah, I feel like that's the eternal question for third culture kids, right? It's where that sometimes it's wonderful, sometimes it's hard to describe. So yeah, my story starts in Washington, D.C., actually. So I was born in D.C. to two individuals who had, I always think it's funny, I don't know if it's expatted or immigrated, right? So those are political terms, from West Africa. That's why they're political terms, because it's the global South, right? And I, you know, lived in the U.S., cross-cultural kid, because, you know, both of my parents were not from the U.S. And then around the age of 9, they decided for them to repatriate, although it was a different kind of repatriation, because if you know anything about Cameroon, it's bilingual, majority French, English minority. My family was from the English minority, so they'd never lived in the Francophone, French-speaking part. And so they decided to repatriate, and I ended up living in the capital city, which was Francophone, which is Yaoundé, and, you know, grew up in an international community with, you know, my mother worked at the U.S. Embassy, and I went to the international schools and kind of just grew up in that space. And, you know, I always say it's kind of interesting because I had left a country where I was a minority, and then I went to a country where physically I was in the majority, but I was still in the minority, right? Because French was not my first language. Obviously, I was an American kid, or more, a Western kid, because now I'm in a sub-Saharan African country and I just had different experiences. And then, you know, you get into class differential in terms of neighborhoods that we were living in, the kind of education I was receiving and all of that. So went to the American school then, and this will probably date me, but back then the American school ended in what in the US we called 9th grade. And so I ended up going to a second international school, which this is the part that's always really funky. The first 2 years were in the British system. And the second 2 years were in the American system. Mm-hmm. So just so that it could prepare the students who are obviously going to take GCSEs and all of that, or, you know, maybe a more European style post-secondary experience. And then also prepared you if you were going to go to the US for that post-secondary experience. So grew up in that environment. And then at 17, I came back to the US by myself.
And is that where you've stayed since?
Yeah, no. So.
But wait,
there's always more. I mean, I think the U.S. in itself, I say this probably to everyone, you know, the U.S. is like 9 countries in one. Let's just be frank. It's so big. Uh-huh. And no one should kid themselves that being in New York is the same thing as being in Georgia or being in California or being in Illinois. It's not. I came back for college. And so in North Carolina, where I'm actually, this is my third move back to North Carolina, so I guess I have to claim it as home. I came for college or university, and then there are several places that I moved to within the US that are all very different. Still was traveling. And then I decided that I needed to go back abroad for a little bit. So I went to Qatar, and this is many years later. So I was in the Middle East for what I thought was going to be a longer, but I was there for a year. And then I came back to North Carolina. and then COVID happened. So I don't know where I'm going to next. So yeah.
Good old COVID chucked a massive spanner in the works. It's interesting what you say about the differences within the States and having moved to New York City and that being so different to other parts of the States. And that reminds me of the fact that we also have domestic TCKs who might not have moved from country to country, but still have had vast changes. For example, as you describe, moving around within the States. Mm-hmm. I'm going to backtrack a little. You mentioned moving to Cameroon, which is where your family was from, at the age of 9, and how you went from being a minority in the United States to a physical majority living in Africa. Mm-hmm. Tell me what that was like.
You know, it's interesting to sort of think back, because this was pre-social media, pre-internet as we know it, right? So when I left for university, email was just becoming a thing, right? Literally, right? If everybody remembers dial-up, but then dial-up in Africa was even worse. I mean, that was literally my senior year. So it's not like we had had email the whole time. So that already tells you. You know, I think it's funny because I moved at the start of your real formative years, right? If you think about your preteen and teenage years, identity is formed, kind of who you are, self-exploration. And, you know, I'd always thought I was a little bit different in the US because my parents weren't American, right? Mm-hmm. So I think for any kid, and it doesn't really matter what the passport is, but I think for any kid where there's a specific culture in your home and it doesn't really match what the dominant culture is, there's a little bit of that tension, right? Cross-cultural kids, that's the story of many a kid, right? You could get parents of two different nationalities who are in one home and then you're in this country, right? I'm not gonna lie, it was difficult because one, there was a language thing, but then it was just a culture thing, which I couldn't really articulate until I got older, right? Because I think when I was 10 or 11, you're trying to figure out, why am I not quite fitting in these spaces? And it was truly because I'd had different experiences and had moved internationally and had very different just life options than the many of the kids who were around me. And so it wasn't until I got to the international school, I think, that I found kind of my people, because, you know, it's like, I'm not saying this in a negative way, but it's like the box of misfit toys, right? Like all of you are kind of weird, right? And everyone's a TCK in some funky way, and no one's a TCK in the same way, right? So no one's story, even if your parents were diplomats, right? The same permutation of countries of all those moves is not for every kid who's a diplomatic kid. So everyone's got one thing that makes them a little bit funky. And so what was great about, I think, being in the international school experience for me was that everybody was just kind of weird. And so no one really questioned anything, because everyone's story was just like, yeah, oh, I've got this story. Oh, this is my story. Cool. Let's go read a book, or let's go hang out. Let's go to a party. Like it wasn't like everybody was special and not special, as opposed to, I think, in greater society. And I think you see this as an adult. Everyone goes, oh, you grew up here. What was that like? And you're like, well, that was just my childhood. Like, I didn't have an alternative. So it's not like I know what your version of what this should look like should be. So it was hard. And here's the crazy part. As difficult as it was moving, because I was there for, so that would have been 7 years. And then if you count going back and forth when I was in university, another 3 years, right? Mm-hmm. It was actually harder leaving and coming back to the US than it was going and being in a place that was completely different from what I had known at that point. That was the harder move. And I would argue to this day was the hardest move.
And the term that springs to mind as you say that is reverse culture shock.
Right. Right.
Was that it for you?
There were a lot of things. See, I'm old enough now that I've processed, so now I have a so I have a good idea, which is funny when I talk to younger TCKs, because I'm like, the beauty of being the other side of 30 is that I actually, I am like, oh, there's so much that I'm fully aware of now that I didn't. Yes. Okay, so let's, I mean, we have to go back. This was in the 90s. So a couple of things were at play. I think, you know, and I discussed this with my friends. I think schools have gotten better about this. And I'm saying international schools. And I know not every TCK went to an international school. They didn't really prepare you to go back. Like, you knew that university was on the horizon, but there was never really a talk of the outside world. And I know that sounds really weird, but you're kind of in this bubble, right? Because everyone's, once again, you're in this box of misfit toys. And so everyone is similar, but then you don't realize that a lot of the world is not. So I think that here's what happened. I came back at 17. My family was still in Cameroon at the time. So I came back by myself. So I was already, you know, I was a teenager. And then I was going to which is funny because I now work at the institution, ironies of ironies, but I went to a university which was at the time the largest in its state. And I went to a small international school. So I'm talking like 25,000, 26,000 students when my graduating class had been 15.
Wow.
So there was that. There was then identity around race, because the US is a very racialized society. And so, you know, one of the things, I mean, it's part of the reason why I started the Black Expat, is that Blackness, at least within the American context, is always shown as very monolithic. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you're Black, therefore there are these shared cultural traits, which is not necessarily true, because being Black from Panama, being Black from Oakland, California, being Black from Ghana is all very different. But when you get to the US, it's just everyone's Black. And so the reason that's important is that there were social norms and mores that I was supposed to know, but I didn't know, just by given the fact that I was Black, right? So there was kind of navigating things that I didn't understand. And once again, this is pre-social media. So it wasn't like, now I think the world's a lot smaller, but it wasn't like, you know, I'll give you an example. It's like, maybe there was a famous song that came out during that time. I just didn't know it because it never made its way to Africa yet. Sure. So even now at this age, there's a period where people say, oh, you remember da 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 da, and I'm like, I have no idea. Like, I wasn't here. I know I sound American. I've always sounded this way, but I didn't know. And so I think particularly for people of color, it's not just the reverse shock. And this is extended beyond being Black, to be honest, because this conversation you could have with various other ethnic minorities in this country, but like, it's not just the reverse shock, it's actually navigating the racial identity politics. And that is a layer that I think is a little bit different than for some other groups.
For sure. You mentioned happily being on this side of 30 and having had time to process and to think about this stuff. So I'm going to ask you, Amanda, how would you say that the upbringing that you had, that move from States, living in Africa, the opportunity to live back in the States again, how do you think that has helped you now that you are on this side of 30 and you've had that time to reflect and process what must have been quite some challenges?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I still travel and I think it was very clear, especially when I moved to Qatar, is that, you know, it's like I've always paid attention to cultural cues, because that tells you a lot about a society. And I think being, you know, I think from day one, understanding at least the basics of how a culture operates and being interested in that helps you kind of navigate. I think also just with people, right? I think for many TCKs or CCKs, you come across so many different people in so many different contexts that it just, if you're in tune, it helps you to just be able to navigate and work with folks. And whether it is a professional environment or it's a social environment, I think it just helps you to be comfortable in talking to all kinds of people. And I always think it's very strange because it's just not been my experience. People who have a hard time discussing with folks who are absolutely different from them. Like they just don't know. Like to this day, I'm like, I'm grown. And it's funny because I sit the other side of 30 and I'm way on the over the side of 30, but we'll keep that as a reference point.
Sure.
But I just mean like grown people who just don't know, like they cannot handle talking to someone who is a different political, you know, line of thinking, different religious thinking, different identity or gender expression or whatever. And I'm just thinking to myself, oh my gosh, like if you just drill it down to people being people, which is something I think I learned really young, it's gonna be okay. And I think also, because as a kid, I always felt kind of like the weird one out. Like I sort of have that sensitivity to other people where I feel like, I don't want anyone to feel like that. So, okay, cool. They're very different than me. They think very different than me. They act very different than me, but it doesn't mean that they don't deserve respect, right? Until they do something ridiculous and then all bets are off. But before that point, it's all, you know, because I just learned young, like it's hard being the weird one. And so I never want people to feel kind of that isolation. And I think having also grown up between the US and Cameroon, it's been wonderful when I travel and I see the similarities in places that maybe I'd never been prior to before. And I go, oh, this reminds me of what I saw in Cameroon. So like, the first time I went to Brazil, there were things in Brazil that I was like, oh my gosh, this is totally like West Africa, right? When I went to the Gulf, when I went to both UAE and I went to Qatar, there were things that I went, oh, this reminds me of things that I've seen in other places. And so, you know, there's something to be said with the, you know, there are downs with anything, but there's something to be said about the ups. And I'm kind of grateful that I've had these experiences.
So obviously, age and just the process of getting older is, I'm guessing, one thing that has helped you to resolve, I might say, some of those the challenges of the growing up in different places. What else do you think has been helpful?
Well, I'm a counselor by training as well, so therapy. I say that jokingly, but I think it's true. Like it is important. I don't know if we talk about this enough, right? Like mental wellness and mental health. Everyone's experience is different. And I find myself talking about this a lot more and more with groups that we have to be careful that, and this, I'm not saying I fall in this category, but we have to be careful with even describing the TCK experience is almost making it sound like it was all sunshine and roses and Pollyanna-esque, because I have been through the work I do with the Black Expat, through the work that I just do in general, just even my own life. I am old enough to also know that one, there's no right way to be a TCK. And number two, not everybody is happy that they had a TCK experience. And that some TCK experiences were very hard and in some cases very traumatic.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of tension there, and for very good reason. And there was a lot of family dynamic issues and greater issues and stuff going on in the country. And so, or the countries they were in. So I jokingly say therapy, but I think it's important because there are some things that I think we're easy to say, oh, that's just part of being a TCK. And then there's some things that I'm like, there's part of being a TCK, but being able to talk and process these experiences, both the good and the bad, right? Because I think there's some behaviors that we pick up, which are not necessarily the most healthy, but it's the way we kind of coped as a third culture kid. And, you know, it's kind of sitting in our subconscious. And then it's sort of like, well, let's talk about why you have a fear of commitment.
right? I mean, and it's sort of this running joke, right? Where it's like, of course, we're used to people changing all the time, moving, right? And I've been in so many TCK conversations where that is the most normal thing, where people are like, oh, I'm scared to put down roots, or, you know, marriage or whatever. And then it's like, at some point though, we need to actually talk about, or you need to unpack why you do this thing in a certain way, because what may seem like it's the TCK umbrella, that's great, or that's what it falls under, may have now developed a pattern that's actually not as healthy. And even though we try to normalize it as healthy, I'm sort of like, that's kind of weird. You might want to unpack that.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point that you make there, Amanda, and that, you know, therapy might look at the why of a fear of commitment.
Yeah.
And I would say that the difference there between therapy and coaching, which is obviously the service that I offer, is that where therapy would be looking at why there is that fear of commitment and how that came to be, coaching can help people to then break that pattern, that habit, and what would you like instead? How can that be different for you? Sort of very much more about looking forwards.
Yeah.
I'm going to step back again. Something you mentioned earlier about this being your third move back to North Carolina, and it's somewhere that you can now consider to be home. Classic question for a TCK: what makes somewhere home for you?
I think if you move back three times, I mean, it's not, trust me, it was not a deeper thought beyond here I am again. And understand, I say this to folks, there's like massive year gaps between each move back here. I'm anywhere between the 7 and 10 year range. You have to understand, this is not like a every 2 year thing. It's like whole decades go by and then I'm like, oh look, I should come back here. You know, I think here's the thing, when I was younger, much, you know, the second move was predicated on the first move to North Carolina. When I was younger, my family had moved here. And, you know, I guess it's kind of the early, I had great experiences, whatnot. And then when I was looking for university, I was like, I want to go back there. So I came back. and then I was looking for an opportunity and I never looked here, but then one literally presented itself out of left field. And I was like, and I'm back. And so... And I've gone and come back and some of the people are still here, which is shocking over all of those moves. But I think home for me, you know, I think, once again, I think it's an age thing. It's like, I like roots. Mm-hmm. And I want to be somewhere that makes sense to me. And, you know, I feel like I had this conversation with someone the other day and they said, well, would you ever live somewhere else in the US? And I was like, well, It is for a fact. I've been around a lot of places in the US. I have never lived north. I have no desire. I am a southern. I live between a certain point of this country and it's in the south. That might be really funny to people, but you know, when you just kind of find a place that it makes sense for you. Mm-hmm. And I think also on the flip side, and this is the TCK part of it, is I think when you've moved so much, because I've had a lot of, you know, their international moves and their domestic moves. I mean, I've had a lot of moves, right? I was one of those kids where, like, if you count between, you know, kindergarten to when I graduated from high school, I don't know, probably like 8 schools, 9 schools, you know what I mean? Like, there was just so much movement just, I think, in my younger years. And then there was movement during my university years. And then I think I just am at the point where I'm like, I just hate packing. Like, I really hate packing. I am the worst packer for someone who has been to so many continents and places and has moved houses and owned houses. I'm just like, I hate packing. So I want somewhere where I can just leave my stuff. I can come back, but I can leave my stuff. So that's home, where I can leave my stuff and know it won't get stolen.
I hear you on the packing. I have to say, I'll just add at this point that with my most recent move, it was commented that, hey, Jen, I thought you would be better at this. You've done it so many times.
Hate it. Like, I know it's really sad, but like, honestly, one of the things I think about is, oh, I gotta pack again. I don't want to pack. I don't want to do this. So yeah,
I hear you. So when you said something about finding a place that makes sense to you, What does that mean for you? What does make sense for you?
I mean, for me, in a very practical way, weather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's weather affects your emotional mood.
Yeah,
I just don't think, once again, you see why I could never live in the North. My entire, this is a funny thing. I realize this, I have lived a lot of places. My entire life, I've lived in hot, warm climates. It did not matter whether it was North America, Africa, or Asia. I do not do winter. So, I trust me when I say I've only lived in the Southern United States. So I'm obviously on the East Coast. I moved to New Mexico, which is on the in between Texas and Arizona, in the desert part. Like, when I mean, I do not do cold environments. Mark my words on that. But you know, I think it's weather in terms of how do you feel, and so that gets into quality of life, right? What kind of people are there? For me, I'm actually not a massive city person. I like cities, but I think this part of it also goes back to my childhood, right? I do like some open spaces. I do like kind of the freshness of that. But then it's really weird. I also like a diversity of people. So somehow You have to, which is, I guess, what the suburbs, right? You have to get like all these different people in open spaces, which is not that easy. This is going to sound really funny. I like to be relatively near an airport.
Yeah.
And I think that's just me. And literally, I live 10 minutes away. My sister bought a house 10 minutes away from an airport. Like, we just live near airports so that in the event I need to take a flight, which is often, it's not an issue. But I think also just a place where you have a sense of peace. Yeah, I think that looks different for people. And especially today, where we're kind of dealing with sort of the politics and the health and everything that's going on. But I think just a sense of peace and a sense of being centered. So that's it for me.
Yeah, that sounds like that sort of feeling of just being at home within yourself in a place, as well as the surrounding factors there too.
Well, and I think I'm about to contradict myself. This is really funny. So I told you about how I said I didn't want to pack, right? And then the whole commitment thing. At the same time, I like being grounded, but I like the option of being able to leave, hence the airport is nearby. I don't have to use the airport. It just has to be proverbially there. So the planes literally fly over my house. I'm like, oh, where's that flight going? Maybe I should be going on that flight. Yeah,
it's the TCK conundrum, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Amanda, as always, the time flies on these podcast episodes, and we are almost out of time. I have one final question, which is, would you like to tell me about one of the things that you know, one of the best things about the TCK upbringing?
I think if you embrace it right, it's being able to connect with different people.
Yeah.
It does not mean you lose your identity because you empathize or sympathize. It doesn't mean that you always agree. But I think if you learn anything from being around people who are so different from you, it's a great skill set, and it's a great thing to have, not even just at a professional level, but just on a human level, because there's so many opportunities day to day for us to run into people who are so different. And I think that many TCKs are so good at diffusing situations that are especially really high intention, because they're able to say, hey, let's sit and reason together. Let's kind of look at these different ways and let's look at these different perspectives and let's look at your perspective and see if we can find common ground. So, I mean, in the back of my mind, not to get all biblical on people, but I just love where it's like, blessed are the peacemakers. And I tend to think of a lot of TCKs as being peacemakers just because they can see the different strands of thought. And it's true that I said earlier, the older I get, I am more surprised how a lot of people don't think that way. And then I realized, well, I grew up around TCKs. So of course they knew, they, for many of them, they knew how to do that. But I think that that's one of the things where you should never really take it for granted. And actually, I think it becomes more important the older you get, only because, as we know with people, the older people get, the more hard, fast, rigid they tend to become in what they see and believe. And so if you're able to sort of hold on to that, even as you're interacting with folks, I think that's really helpful. And I say that because there's always an election going on in the US. And so, so that's a great skill to have.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Amanda, thank you so much for your time today. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak with you.
Well, thank you for having me. This is fun. This is a different type of interview that I've done in the past. So I love it.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to People Like Us. If you'd like to join an online community full of people like us, hop over to Facebook and search for People Like Us. You'll find my group and you're very welcome to join us.